It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality.
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older? Then we wouldn't have to wait so long. And wouldn't it be nice to live together in the kind of world where we belong?
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Paul LaVoy, along with Dan DeLosantos, the host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Welcome to Speak Out. It is Wednesday, September 7th, 2022. Kind of a late first Wednesday of the month, Dan.
Yes, it is. It is, actually. The 7th. We've been opening up on the 1st and 2nd here for the last few months.
I think the only later we can get would be the 8th, right?
Right.
Well, no.
No.
Because then the 1st would be a Wednesday.
Well, that's correct.
Yeah, so this is the latest in the month. That, well, we're not going to beat that horse to death.
Right.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Of course, brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We have a very special guest today.
We do. We have a gentleman by the name of Floyd Hamilton. And for you pioneers who recall that name, then you probably realize this man's been around pretty much almost as long as the city has been. And he's got an amazing history to share with us today. And know that he's not going to be a guest speaker just today, but we're going to have him on a second time later on in the season because he's got so much amazing information to share with us.
I don't think we've ever had a repeat guest.
Well, we haven't yet because we have about three that are coming up.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. We will have them this next season. So, Floyd, how'd you get to Havasu?
I took one of those Holly flights out of Midway, Chicago. We were living in Macomb, Illinois, and saw an ad in the Chicago Daily News for free flight and vacation from courtesy of McCulloch Realty Properties. And so we made a telephone call. The gentleman came to the house, and we got signed up. We got a ticket to the airplane in Chicago. Obviously, it was a McCulloch airplane. It was one of the old Lockheed Connies.
Yep.
We flew out here on the Lockheed Connie, and we landed, and it was the most beautiful day and the most beautiful scene I'd ever seen in my life. It was in March, March 7th. And you know how it is. The weather here is in March 7th. Anyway, the old Lockheed Connie had a ceiling of about 25,000 feet. So by the time we got here, there was a lot of sick people, including me.
Wow.
And I needed a little bit of time to recuperate. And I told the salesman, I said, well, just give us some time to recuperate and we'll probably buy a lot. Well, we bought a lot. And we were very happy about that. And came back in 1968 to check things out, to see what the opportunities were here. And then in 1969, in the middle of July, 7 days before the first moon landing, we came to Lake Havasu, and we would never go back. Loved it.
Wow.
Yeah. I have to do a sidebar here because of the moon landing. Everybody around the world's watching the moon landing, right? Were you being in Lake Havasu?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was amazed. I was with, had already made a pre-arrangement with Lloyd Beach Construction to come in as estimator and salesperson.
Okay.
And So he had a TV, believe it or not, a TV works in 1969 in Lake Havasu.
Well, back then, yeah, I'm wondering what stations you even picked up.
Well, there's maybe one or two, and that was about it. But they did have the moon landing. And that was a tremendous thing to see, and to be here in Lake Havasu for 7 days and to see it at that time.
Well, and you know, you knew my parents, BJ, Bob Jewett, and Mary Jo Jewett, which was fascinating when you and I shared that on the telephone the other day. And when you talked about the moon landing, well, BJ was actually part of the purchasing system to purchase the spacesuits for the Apollo space landing on the moon.
Wow.
And so we're all circled around the TV because had a role to play in it, right?
No, no kidding.
And we ran out to get a color TV, which we had, and the whole thing was in black and white.
Oh, that's right. A lot of people have mentioned that. Yeah, that's very funny.
So I still have the bomb off the recovery ship, USS Hornet, at my bar that I got when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
I mean, it's not important. I think Apollo 12 or 14 was the first color shots of the moon.
Right. Yeah. There's no color.
Right.
There's no color.
Very good point.
So then, you know, I guess now you're here. You're living in Havasu, living the dream. And, you know, we start creeping up on around 1970, 1971, and you had a role to play in a very iconic movie that was first associated with Lake Havasu City, and that was Day of the Wolves. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. 1970. I was president of the Theater Guild. That's a thing that I had developed, an art that I had developed back in Macomb, Illinois. I had been in several productions of Theater Guild, local Theater Guild in Macomb, Illinois, Western Illinois University. And so as a result, we got people together here. We created a Theater Guild, and I became the president. And I remember in 1970, I was in a play with Michael Biehn called Thousand Clowns. And it was during that time, and by the way, he and I were we had practically all the words, so it was it was kind of our play. But anyway, Ferdy Groffet, who was the son of the man who did the score for the Grand Canyon Suite. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
I am, yeah.
That's the Grand Canyon Suite. So anyway, Ferdy Groffet was his son. He called me up. He said, Floyd, I understand that you could help me. And I says, what do you got in mind? He says, well, I want to do a movie shoot in Lake Havasu. And he said, I don't know anybody. And he said, I need some help. And I said, what do you need help with? He said, well, everything. And so he said, first of all, I need to get people that would be willing to work for peanuts. And he wasn't joking. He was not joking. And, of course, there were a lot of people interested, including the people in the Theater Guild at that time. And I brought with me a list of people who finally got into that movie. But sure enough, he and I made arrangements, and he came in. He asked me to be an assistant production manager. I said, fine. And so I found myself working with Rick Jason, Martha Heyer, Richard Egan, Jad Murray, Frankie Randall, Smokey Roberts, and a lot of locals. Wendy Alvord, Warren Alvord, Mel Scarborough, Mike Minoni. Yeah, they sold some of the local people that was in that movie.
Well, and those are usually some of the people listening to our show today, so.
Well, I hope so.
So, you know, here comes the movie, and, you know, they're producing this thing. Now, the word is from Lee Shoblum that they were borrowing everything that wasn't tied down. Lights, audio equipment, everything from around the community to help produce this thing. And then, of course, a lot of the local talent that we had here, including some of the sheriffs, were involved with it. And not too many years ago, there was a guy came into town, did a documentary on it. And I guess
Greg Quinn.
Yes, and really super guy. Got a chance to spend some time with him. I've actually seen the draft of that film, and it's really interesting. I mean, It's got a lot of information. I don't know if you had a chance to see it yet.
I've had a big part of that.
Yeah, that's just been a really... I can hardly wait when we can share it with everyone when that comes out. Because whatever... If you haven't seen Day of the Wolves, don't rush right out. It's got to be one of the worst.
So don't rent it on Amazon,
one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
When it says 1999 rental?
The documentary on the movie was actually better because all the people that were involved with it were people that we all know here locally, and they were part of the documentary telling much more of the behind-the-scenes stories, which made it much more interesting.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I spent hours and hours with being filmed by Greg Quinn, his name. And had a great part of that documentary, and I have seen that same preview. And by the way, he plans to show that sometime, he said in October, and here in Lake Havasu.
Yeah, so I asked him to come in for a Pioneer or a London Bridge Days time frame because, you know, we know a lot of our pioneers are getting older, and we lose some of them every now and then. I'd like him to be able to see it before that happens, and so hopefully I'll probably reach out to him later this week and ask him how things are coming along. Maybe you can do the same.
Well, I have in front of me here pictures that I took during that Day of the Wolves.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, sure does.
Oh, my gosh.
And these I have turned over to Greg Quinn, and they are part of the new documentary.
Oh, my Lord.
You think those need to be posted on Facebook?
I think they got to be in the movie first.
Oh.
Yeah, this has been dedicated to the
documentary. Right. Yeah. My bad. Yeah.
So, yeah, but if folks, I wish you could see what I'm looking at, because these are pictures that look like they were just taken yesterday, only it was back in 1971 when they were filming this. All over Mojave County and La Paz and stuff. Plains, old buildings out in the middle of the desert, the lake.
Swansea.
Swansea.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
The Planet Ranch.
Yep.
And, of course, the bank and some of the commercial buildings here in Lake Havasu. Yep, you bet.
When I rolled into town when we were moving here on one of our loads, we came down into town, came up, I think, around Smoketree and saw all the film crew on the roofs of clay pools and that whole Crystal Plaza area, and they're filming, and guys are running, and they're shooting, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, what have we run into? I didn't realize it was a movie.
Well, you should have seen what they did in Swansea. They practically burned the old Swansea town down.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. I see it.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Smoke.
Yeah.
Holy jamoli.
And, of course, they were out there without water, shooting without water. I don't know how they got the thing put out, but what was left of the old buildings there at Swansea really, almost didn't withstand that particular crew, because Rick Jason grabbed hold of a machine gun one day, and he started shooting up the buildings. The people that do the history of that area are not too happy with what happened there.
Oh, I bet they aren't. That building looks like about 10, 15 years ago, a radio station north of here in Fort Mojave.
Okay.
It looks just like it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The aftermath. Yeah.
Now, tell you a funny thing about these pictures. Is that here, Ferdy Groffé comes in to film a movie, motion picture, right? You think he had one person that had a camera to take stills? No. But... guess who was walking around taking stills? I had a very nice 35-millimeter camera that I brought back from Germany. And so I was able to get these pictures. Well, these and whatever time I've spent with Greg Quinn and others has made the documentary. And the documentary, like you said, Dan, is better than the movie.
It was really good.
But the movie is called by Greg Quinn a cult movie.
Yes. That's his
a cult classic, huh?
That's a cult classic.
Only not so classic.
That's as close as important as you're going to get.
But anyway, here's a magazine called Movie Maker, and here's a story about the documentary that he made.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and you printed me off a copy of that.
Yeah,
I did. Now, fortunately, I get to probably share a little bit of that.
How old is that, Floyd?
What does it say on the front here?
Sorry. Does that have a date? No? Anyway.
Nope, I don't.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to find it during the break.
Yeah, it's not a problem. So let's go ahead and take it and move on. Day of the Wolves is done. You've done your duty. You know, everybody knows who you are in town. And, you know, what did you do for a living?
Okay, I was a general contractor when I came out here. And I got involved with general contracting with Lloyd Beach Construction. That was my first job. Second job, by the way, that was a very interesting job. I came in, did most of his estimating and a lot of his sales. And then I took on a job at Poston, building a community, 50 houses for the Indians down in Poston. And that's an interesting story all by itself, because in order to get that that project off the road, we had to tear down some old buildings. Turned out the old buildings were the old Japanese barracks that housed the Japanese during the...
Oh, right. The internment camps.
Internment camp. And, right. Yeah. So that was the first job, was to tear down the old barracks. And I, to this day, I still amaze that anybody could live in those barracks, because, I mean, that's what they were, bare bones. There was no insulation in the walls. There was no drywall on the roads. It was just, it had to be super hot down there.
Where were they located?
At Poston.
Okay,
right,
Poston.
Right,
okay.
South of Parker.
Yep, yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, I completed that job, and I came back and went to work for Larry Bergen Associates, who is also a general contractor, mm-hmm. and we built a lot of houses. I could tell you a lot of stories about people coming in. They came in on flights, same way with Lloyd Beach Construction. The Holly salesman would bring them in, and they would sit down in front of my desk, and I would say, "Why do you want to move to Lake Havasu?" "Oh, I really love it. Really love the place. Really love the place." Well, I said, "You know, there's about maybe 2,000 people living here right now." And I said, "They got most of the lots in town are empty. So we have to build this town." I said, "You think you're up to being a part of that?" And invariably they'd say, "Oh, yeah, we definitely would want to be pioneers and be a part of that."
So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We're here with Floyd Hamilton. You want to hear the rest of these stories, because we've got some great ones coming up here in just a few minutes.
Absolutely. The Movie Maker, I found the publisher's page, fall of 2008.
Wow. Yeah. So it's still an important movie in filmmakers' eyes.
Yeah, it's almost 15 years old, though.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And then Gary, our friend Gary with Havasu Freedom Foundation.
Yep.
Ask Floyd or Dan if the museum is still recording the pioneer stories. We need an audible library.
So we have all the radio shows from the show for 3 years recorded. So we'll have to have that discussion with the museum.
Yeah, good idea. And you can, of course, find that at KNTRtalk.com, right there, even on your cell phone, right? Are you talking about those recordings?
Well, actually, yes, the ones that we have recorded from our show.
Uh-huh.
But what Gary's asking about is they actually did a program that we'll talk about in a minute. But
cool.
Yeah, we'll get back to it.
All right, stay with us on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show with host Dan DeLosantos. I'm Paul Lavoie, the host of Speak Out. We'll return in a moment. Don't forget, Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We'll be right back with our guest, Floyd Hamilton. Stay with us. Welcome back to Speak Out, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And Speak Out brought to you also by Mojave Mortgage, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Verizon Community Bank, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, and of course, samsguns.com. If you miss any part of this show, go to KNTRtalk.com, where the Havasu Pioneers archives are. We are on show number
Is this 36?
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
It's 36 or I always get it wrong. I think it's 37, actually. That's at KNTRTalk.com. And don't forget, we are also on the Lake Havasu City app at the Google Play and Apple iStore. And those archive, those are kind of in a row there,
yep.
All the way back to October.
Yep.
Is the archives for Speak Out. And our number, if you want to participate, give us a call. If you want to talk to Floyd Hamilton, it's 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Dan.
So, you know, at the end of this show today, I want everybody to stay tuned because we're going to be talking about a Lake Havasu City procrastinators party that you're going to all want to go to. You're all invited. So
I'll get around
stay
to
tuned
it.
For that.
I'm always late for those things.
Same here.
And I want to give a big shout out to Michelle over at Natural Tees. I got to tell you, their artwork, what they do for our community, the product that they put out is just absolutely phenomenal. And they're working with us right now to do the logo for the Beard and Mustache Contest. And I got to tell you, TJ over there is just doing a phenomenal job.
I want to give a shout-out to our friend Gary, his loyal listener, and he says he really wants to see those photos.
Oh, I bet he does. You know, Gary asked about if they were still videoing for historical purposes over at the museum. Now, they did that for quite a while, and then they put them up and they allowed people to watch them on screen. I think there's been some revamping over at the museum. We'll have to check with Jillian to see what the game plan is, if that's still happening, if they're still inviting people to be part of that. So we'll stay tuned and we'll bring that to you at a future time. So we're here with Floyd. Floyd, you know, you were talking to us about what you did and, you know, for a living. And so kind of keep going on with that part. I think, you know, how would you construction? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. What type of construction?
Mostly new homes, although we did do some interesting small buildings up where on Main Street where the lots were 25-foot frontage. We built a lot of those 25-foot wide buildings up there on McCulloch Boulevard. But primarily we were doing custom homes. As a matter of fact, people would come in, but the McCulloch salesman, Holly salesman would bring him in and set him down in front of our, in front of me and my desk. And, I'd say, well, what are you here for? Well, I'd like to build a home. Where's your lot? Well, I'd get the description of the lot. And of course, we had a track map. We were able to get out to all of them. And so I said, well, let's drive out to your lot and take a look at, your lot and we'll see what kind of a home we can design for you.
Well, you know what? I'm looking in these photos you had and I'm looking 1, 2, 3, 4 Holly salesman vehicles.
They were everywhere. Believe me, they were everywhere.
They were Jeep Grand Wagoneers.
That's right. But anyway, bottom line is we'd go out look on the customer's lot, and they'd say, well, I got a great view of the lake. And so we would climb up to the top of the lot. Typically, it had in many cases, had a big slope to the front. And by the time that we walked back down to the setback line, the view was gone. So the Holly salesman was selling the Palo Verde tree that was on the next lot or the view that was at the top of the lot that they'd never be able to build on. Now, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but we found that to be quite prevalent. But anyway, we always did custom design, and we had an in-house draftsman. He would do an 1/8 drawing. And we'd show it to the customer before the customer left. And then we would do the rest of it by telephone, which gets us to another item on my list.
Well, take us right into it.
Okay. Well, here's the story. Citizens Utility was basically oriented out of Kingman. The management basically was out of Kingman. The total management was out of Connecticut.
Right.
And so there came a time when the citizens literally had stretched their lines to the limit. They were putting it in faster than they could get, they could follow the easement. So they were putting telephone lines across lots diagonally any way they could get from one point to another. The problem was all the switching was going into Kingman. And the more people we got in Lake Havasu, the more difficult it was to get telephone calls completed, particularly long-distance calls. So here we were in the business dealing with customers from Chicago.
All over.
Ohio, California, wherever. And we'd say, call and call and call, and you could get the call through. And so it got to the point where we literally couldn't do business. So the telephone manager here in Lake Havasu was Gary Kellogg, a really nice guy.
Gary is a super guy.
He's in Kingman now at the Economic Development Office.
Yeah. Well, I worked with him here on a lot of other
projects.
You
never know it. He's here all the time.
I know.
Yeah, he was also on my HFHE board, and I respect him quite well. But anyway, it got to the point we had to do something. And so working with the people in Kingman was a lost cause, totally a lost cause. So I got with some of our subs, and I said, look, guys, let's get together. I'm collecting money to put a full-page ad in the paper. I'm going to invite people in Lake Havasu to send a letter to the Corporation Commission, but send it to my address. And when I get 500, I'm going to take it to Corporation Commission, and we're going to request a hearing. Well, that's exactly what happened, is that we got the 500 letters. I took it to the Corporation Commission. And we got to hear it. It was held at the Daytona site gym. Totally packed, absolutely packed with people. They testified all day. The place was absolutely bombed. It was full. They had the president, vice president of Citizens Utilities there, and, of course, the corporation commissioners. So at the end of the day, I basically was the last one to testify. And I got up and said, you know what? You folks need to do something, and you need to do something quick. I said, we can't do business in Lake Havasu. The people in Kingman are not capable of managing it. I said, you need to spend some money down here. And I said, the man to do it is right here. And I said, the last word I heard was that he was going to get canned. But it's Gary Kellogg. We need to keep that man. We need to keep him here. And we need to get him, keep him, in order to build this telephone system out. And so the hearing officers met, and they gave citizens 6 months to show why that their charter shouldn't be revoked.
Whoa.
And so they got on the ball. They got right on the ball. So the next thing you know, I'm being lunched and wined and dined by the vice president of Citizens Utilities. And so he would bring along the manager from Kingman. So we'd be sitting there, Gary Kellogg, myself, the manager from Kingman, and a fellow by the name of Hunderfund, who was vice president of Citizens Utilities. So we were sitting there one day, and he said, well, Mr. Hamilton, he said, I want to question you. He said, why do you think you're so special down here that you need better service than we're offering in Kingman? I said, well, it must be really bad in Kingman. And I said, I want you to listen carefully. I said, the people in Lake Havasu are a cut above. Gary Kellogg has had to wear that neck around his neck for years. Every time he would go back up to Kingman, they'd say, oh, here comes Mr. Cut Above from Lake Havasu.
No kidding. That's funny.
They had CMH systems that turned one line into eight lines back then, and when I worked with Citizens Utilities, and then they went digital. But before that, we had our party lines. And, you know, it was nothing to pick up the phone and find out what your neighbor was having for dinner.
Sure.
And who was cheating on who.
Just like on Hee-Haw.
Right. And still dialing five-digit, you know, numbers to reach people. So we're going to take a quick break.
All right.
And we're here with Floyd Hamilton talking about some really cool stuff, the telephone wars.
And the number to call is BR549, right? That's 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. I'm Paul Lavoie, the host of Speak Out, along with Dan DeLaSantos from the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you by Havasu. I'm sorry, Mercury. Air conditioning and heating.
Uh-huh.
I got Havasu on the brain. What are you going to do?
Get better air conditioning.
It's the Havasu Pioneers.
Paul Mercury.
Right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us.
My contentment.
right, we're back on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, and with, of course, Dan DeLosantos, the host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Speak Out brought to you by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College. My favorite word, used twice and differentiated by an apostrophe, and they're back on the show. The namesake himself, Herb's Herbs. Also, SunPower by Esme Electric. The Lewis team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, and our newest sponsor, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. Check them out online at lesolson.com/Kingman. That's Les Olson, OLSON.com/Kingman. Take her away, Dan.
Well, we're with Floyd Hamilton, and he's been sharing some incredible stories that are enlightening us about the behind-the-scenes stories behind things like the telephone wars and Day of the Wolves. And he's got, man, he's got a dozen really great topics here that we're going to break them out over the course of two shows. So, Floyd, you were telling us about the telephone wars and how they put it to the vote, and all of a sudden you're getting wined and dined.
Yeah, they came all the way back out from Connecticut. Mr. Hunderfund spent a lot of money for lunches for me at Gary Kellogg, I think, probably. But anyway, bottom line is that our company got a contract to build the switching station in Lake Havasu City. And after that, the telephone got a lot better.
Oh, we're talking about up on Smoketree?
Yeah.
Yep, that's where I worked. Okay, yep.
That's still there?
Yes, it is. The location's still there.
Sure, different company. You know, I get it. But no, the switcher is still there, correct?
So we used to have a switching system which was louder than heck. I mean, these things, you could walk into the room and it was deafening. And then we went to a DMS 100 system,
right,
which was very quiet. I mean, like, as we're talking.
I'm familiar with it.
And people are just, it's deafening to be that quiet. And it went from a room that's the size of, you know, the first floor to about the size of this room.
Okay.
And it was just amazing. So, and then we worked in the drafting office, and I got to work with Cheryl Thompson Falco, and then Pam and Tom Luck and Susie Habeck. A big shout out to those guys. Had a ball working there. We had so much fun. But Floyd, so where'd we go from there?
Well, what would you like to talk about?
Well, you know, it's like a smorgasbord. I've got this really cool list, right?
He literally does, folks. It's like two pages of notes. And he tells me before the show, no, I got this list to go by. And I'm like, well, yeah, don't share it with me or anything, Dan. So
No. Well, you know what? Next on the list, number four, is the MCC board from 1972 to 1982.
From 1972 till 1982, I served as an elected position on the board of directors of Mojave Community College. And it was during that time that we literally had to build a campus here in Lake Havasu. So when I came on the board, there was a community school that was run by a fellow that I know. I can't remember his name right now. But anyway, that was the only school that we had here in Lake Havasu that was in a vocational sense. So anyway, during 72 to 82, we, as a board, started looking in Lake Havasu because there was literally nothing here other than that one particular community school, they called it. So over a period of time, we got together. We bought what was then the Walters publication, which was publishing at that time the News Herald, Havasu Herald. And so the Walters publication then came up for sale, and we bought it, and we created what is now the campus on Industrial. No, it's not Industrial.
Acoma.
Right.
Yeah. And that's North Acoma, right?
Yes, North Acoma, right. Right across from Havasu, or not Havasu Furniture, but...
Michael Allen.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
But give it a couple of years, it could be somebody else.
I don't know. They've been there for a while. So, anyway, that's a huge campus now.
It is.
Was all of that land included back then, or were there...
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And since that time, of course, the MCC people have increased the size of it. They built a vocational center, their welding center, and a few other things like that. But
now you had to create a foundation or an entity, right, to be able to bring that all to fruition.
Well, that was MCC. Now, okay. ASU is an effort, another story.
Okay.
That's another story.
Okay, good, good. Well, that'll be our next show. Okay, sure.
So that was just one portion of a 10-year stint. I served two terms on the MCC Board of Governors to do that. And one other thing. During that time, I asked the board to look ahead. I said, you know, this campus that we have here now may not be adequate for the future, and so I encouraged the board to take a look at a future site. And so the board agreed. We took a look at north of Lake Havasu, and there's 120 acres up there that now belongs to the city that MCC bought. And that has to do with a whole other story.
Interesting.
Man.
So let me ask you this, being a former member of the governing board in that, is the school now what you thought it would be then or more so?
I think that one of the big problems when we first started campus here in Lake Havasu was the people in Kingman really didn't believe this town was going to survive.
Interesting.
Citizens Utilities didn't think it was going to survive.
Was that intentional, you think?
Well, I think in the case...
That was a rhetorical question.
In the case of some of the attitudes in Kingman, I think, yeah. And
sure.
So there's a lot of politics that was being played out because of that.
And later on, let me add that there was a push to move the county seat to Havasu.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there... that's another whole story.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Right.
Don Aldridge and...
I think it was Rick Murphy was part of that, too.
I probably was.
Yeah.
Probably was, yeah. Anyway, that's another whole story. And if you're interested in that, that may
be. Well, I'm looking at the list. We're going to have a really nice lineup for our next show. And, you know, when we were talking about the telephone wars, we'd go out to the pedestals, which was a private contractor that came in, put in the initial phone lines, and you'd open up the pedestal, and you'd stand back and want to run because – all of a sudden, there'd be this spring of just this cobweb of wires that nobody, nothing professional about it. Guy had to have a beer in one hand and a pair of wire connectors in the other and threw these things together, which is why our connectivity, if you will, was not all the greatest in the early years.
Let me go back to MCC for a second. You had the Havasu campus fledgling. You had the Kingman campus. Did you have Bullhead City or the North campus up in Colorado City?
Eventually, we did put a satellite campus in Colorado City. That's another whole story.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's an interesting story by itself.
So there was Kingman, Bullhead, and Havasu then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It happened that Colorado City was in my district. Excuse me.
Okay.
And so we did go up there a few times, and that was interesting working with that community.
Awesome. Well, so will you come back to our show and do the second half?
Sure.
Because as I told you when we talked, I did not want you rushing through any of this because it's good, amazing history on our community, and I'm sure nobody wanted to see that whiz by. So let's have you back on. I'll let everybody know when we're going to schedule again, and I got to tell you, Floyd, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Awesome.
I really want to hear about this other 120 acres.
Oh, we got the sewer wars. We got the sewer wars.
Right.
We got ASU projects. We got water wars. We got the airport.
What about Kiowa Ponds?
We have so much more.
I nailed
Floyd
something there,
back.
Right?
Yeah, we're going to have plenty for everybody
right.
to enjoy.
Perfect.
And so we're going to have Jillian call in from the Lake Havasu City Museum here in just a moment.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to take a break.
All right. We'll be back with more on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show in just a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, the host of Speak Out, along with Dan DeLosantos, the host of the Pioneers Radio Show. Don't forget, you can get it all online later in the afternoon. We'll have it posted at KNTRtalk.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
No reason to get excited. The
right, welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. We have a very special guest on the phone. Dan, go ahead and introduce our guest.
We've got Jillian Usher on from the Lake Havasu City Museum of History, and she's going to tell us a little bit about a very special event for London Bridge Days that the museum has put together for all you folks who never made it to the museum. Jillian, what do you got?
Well, hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Dan and Paul, for having me today. I'm really excited because my favorite thing that I hear working at the museum when I talk to people in the community is we have a museum, and I love it. Most people would be like, of course we do, but I think it's great because that means that we have so much to share with people who've never seen it before. And so what I'm really excited to announce is just for those people who tell me, wait, we have a museum? We're doing a Procrastinator's Day. And so what the idea is like, okay, you lived here 20, 30 years, and you've never been to the museum. Fine, we forgive you. Come down October the 13th, and you're going to come and actually see what this museum is all about. But you're going to see it through the eyes of the community that you helped build. So this is targeted at the pioneers, the people who have lived here for, you know, 20, 30 years or even longer, came, started Havasu 60s, 70s, and we want to showcase the community that you built. And we're going to have a huge display of photos that really shows, you know, the early days and, hey, I remember that business, or, hey, I remember that drive-in, or, oh, my gosh, do you remember when we did this and that? And it's really just super nostalgic. I want to have people come down and really share those memories of these photos induce, you know? Everybody here, it was their first job. It was the place where they had their first kiss. It was the favorite place they took their families on the weekends. And, you know, just to kind of remember that yesteryear of how it was back in the day and how insanely fast the city has grown.
Well, you know, and there'll be pioneers down there that you'll get to meet. Ask some questions, you know, that'll be really fun to be able to see some of the people you haven't seen in a long time. And so what's the date and time again?
Yeah, so we're going to do Thursday, October 13th from 6 to 9, and it's open to the community, open to the public. Come on down, and we're going to have a good time.
6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for calling in to share that.
I've been here 5 years, so I don't feel so bad that there's people 20 to 25 years.
It's very
I haven't been there yet.
Common. I see it and hear it all the time.
That's incredible.
And I do want to say really quick, I can't give too much information, but we're going to be displaying some new pieces we're getting that have never been seen by the community before. So that is as much as I'll give you guys, but
you'll have to
come down and see for yourself.
I'll be there.
Good.
I can hardly wait. All right. Thanks so much, Jillian, for calling in.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jillian. Have a great day. All right. I have to kind of let a little minor news story. Well, it could have been a news story, but Jack Weldon over at Crown Jewels, you're familiar with his promotion every year, the Labor Day promotion. Well, had the temperature been 113 degrees on Labor Day, Jack tells me he would have given away $220,000 in jewelry that had been purchased during the promotional period.
Wow.
It only hit 111. So he was kind of sad about that, actually, when I talked to him. He, you know, I told him, yeah, I wanted to do a news story so bad. And
man.
So he was kind of, you know, reluctant to get on the air and talk about it because it didn't hit. But
sure.
I told him I would mention, you know, Crown Jewels nonetheless.
That's fantastic.
So there you go. Absolutely. Dan, who's on next month? Do you know yet?
No, I don't, but I will tell you what I'll be talking about is the London Bridge Beard Mustache Contest, and we've got an opening for what's called Whiskerinas. The girls get to get involved, so start looking for the online promotions and tickets so that you can get involved and sign up now.
All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.